Let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians tonight. We're going to look at that one aspect of us as a people truly believing for that supernatural visitation of God's Spirit. I trust that in you there is that hunger and that real desire for the visitation of the Spirit in a way that we've never known it. If that's in us, then we're going to have to do something with the areas in our lives that could possibly be hindering that move. Because, after all, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Not only our bodies individually, but then the Spirit speaks very clearly that we have the community or the body, the church, which is also the temple of God. And we're admonished both to keep this body pure and the community pure. Amen?
Amen.
Because this is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And we can be very casual and I think many times very what's the word I'm looking for? Very unconscious of the fact that we are privileged by that visitation.
Amen.
And you know, we just get so common with one another. We get so common with the presence of God. And if we could see it as the true gift that it is from the Lord, that bold access into the Holy of Holies that we can never take for granted. We can never count it common. As we've been studying prayer, that right to enter the presence of God through the blood of Jesus. Oh, don't ever count it an unholy thing. You know, we would think that unholy would be to speak profane against it or to speak contrary and blaspheme the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you, there's needing to be a reverence, a proper valuing of what's been afforded us in this great gift from Father, the power of the Holy Spirit, this great gift through the blood of Jesus, that redemption and that ability to approach the throne of Almighty God. We can't let the Holy, the Heavenly Father aspect of God create a commonness in the holy God that we serve and know, for He is unique, He is separate, He is almighty. Amen?
Amen.
And so let's guard our hearts against that. And with that in mind, as we look this evening into some of the things that God is wanting to do in our lives by His Spirit, but that we can hinder by lack of preparation for that visitation of the Spirit. We saw in Ephesians, let's turn over there real quickly, and in Ephesians chapter 4, we saw that statement that was made by the apostle as he's speaking toward this new created man. We are that new creation. We are in all ways, the scripture tells us, recreated, formed, or should I say reformed, as sons of God, into the image of Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things are new. Amen? We are a new creature or a new creation. And here in Ephesians, that's addressed very clearly when he says in verse 24 of chapter 4, I want you to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new creature, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And as you put on this new man, you will put away lying. I want you to speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another. And as the Lord is wanting to bring us into this harmony, into this oneness, or as we've been seeing in the book of Acts, to bring us into one accord, to become one heart and one mind, not only with Jesus, but with one another, that flies in direct opposition to that great spirit that every one of us is sensing today. I trust you're sensing this. And we're not only sensing it, we are being vexed by it. And that is that secret power of lawlessness. Now, lawlessness is just a spirit of independence. Or, as we saw in the Old Covenant, every man doing what was right in his own eyes. And the one thing that the Antichrist will do in this hour in opposition to the church, and we've seen it many times, a house divided against itself cannot stand. We're going to see that that division comes by a seditious spirit. And a seditious spirit is one that just separates. It separates itself. It causes separation. It's a spirit that would rise up like a Korah and Dathan and try to draw others to itself to be able to propagate its own ideologies, its own conscience, its own concepts. And so we end up then with the immature fruit that was spoken of by Paul. I'm of Peter. I'm of Paul. And really, you're of the devil. And this is the spirit that's being addressed here. Now, I won't go back. You can all just, I'll make the statement so that your minds can kind of go back there, but we won't go back. But remember, we've been spending a lot of time recently on this church of Ephesus. And we went over its history and we looked at it in the book of Revelation and the loss of the first love. And we looked at how they had matured and the great things that they did it for doctrine and doctrinal purity. And so they were fine doctrinally, but they were called on the carpet because they were lacking what? That fervency for their first love. Well, what is the first love? The first love, of course, is Jesus, our love for him because of redemption. We recognize him as the head of the church. We say he's the Lord of our lives. But if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Amen. And they will not be. It's the thing that we pursue. We're not looking for a way around. Listen, representing his love one to another. It's tiring to love somebody, isn't it? Do you know what it takes to love someone properly? To love yourself less. Now, how many of us like that? But the real question tonight is, how many of us want that? We'll see tonight in the study. There's nothing in us naturally that wants it. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These two are the contrary one to the other. Amen? So that you can't do the thing that you want to do. Well, how can we get to doing those things that we don't want to do? By allowing ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all things that Jesus taught, who reminds us of all things that Jesus spoke, who was the power that caused Jesus to walk in obedience and will be the power that causes us to walk in obedience. But the first thing we need to understand is how important it is to desire the Holy Spirit to make us less that we might love more. Are you believing the Holy Spirit to rise up in you to the place where less of me and more of you? Amen? Oh, how we need this daily death that the Spirit of God might live through us. You, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What is true holiness? Holiness that expresses itself is true holiness. Holiness that is effectual. Holiness that is observable as we separate ourselves to God only. It's observable. Holiness, true holiness, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's what we want to look at tonight. We're going to look at some of this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit beginning to be a primary pursuit and expectation in our lives. Many of us want to see the power, but we can't see the power properly until we have the fruit. Amen? We want miracles, but we need love. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. We need the Holy Spirit to die daily. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit to give us a desire to embrace the cross. We need that empowering. Jesus, it says, walking in the power of the Spirit. He goes on in this passage in Ephesians and he says, listen, I want you to allow that new man, that man that is under the power of the indwelling Spirit of God, to express himself. And so put away lying. Now that's not just fabricating things as we interact. The lying that's spoken of here is the spirit of Ananias and Sapphira. Why has Satan put in your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And so we then begin to see, well, okay, the lying is when we are moving in hypocrisy, when we're moving and professing to be something that we're not. When we say we're in one accord. Now it can express itself in a general expression that could affect the whole community, like in an Ananias and Sapphira, or in a Korah and Dathan spirit, or in that damnable spirit of Absalom. That seditious spirit, that self-will. But it doesn't always have to be of that magnitude. It can be when you're in conflict with a brother or sister and you just want to get somebody on your side through gossip, through slander. Amen? How's the Holy Ghost going to move in here? With this spirit, this lying spirit that's saying, I'm part of the body of Christ. I love others better than myself. I'm here to bring edification to the body, and you're just here for your own skin. For your own will. Oh, the subtlety of Satan. Amen? I'm of Paul. I'm of Paulus. Parents try to do it with children. Someone who gets their nose out of joint, and then they want to begin to have this coalition that comes alongside of them, like Korah. It's interesting, we were talking about this just the other day, how then when somebody's in that kind of a spirit, and then they convey it and they go, you know, everybody feels like this. There's a lot of people that believe like I believe about this situation. Yeah, you and that other guy and who else? You see the spirit that's being attacked here? Look, as we read on, and he's talking to this Ephesians church. This church that's full of knowledge. This church that's evangelizing all of Asia. Amen? This church that's tried false prophets. You know, the Corinthian church gets all the flack for being the carnal church, but they weren't the only carnal church. They weren't the only ones that had these areas that needed to be addressed. We'll look at the Corinthians here in just a moment as we look at the gifts of the Spirit. But he's going on and he's saying, I want you to create an environment of purity and true holiness. And stop lying to one another. And speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are all members one of another. Do we believe that? Someone reminded me of a statement that I made a few months back when I was talking about how fragile friendships are. You know, there's very few people that'll stick with you for life. You've got a lot of friends, but they'll dump you in a moment if their conviction's strong enough. And you don't agree with them. That should never happen in the church. Amen. We are not just friends, we are members one of another. Amen. We, by the Holy Ghost, have had our lives supernaturally entwined for the purpose of this church edifying itself to the glory of God. And the one thing I can say is that over the years, it's funny, you know, the accusations we've had in the past of how, you know, we can try to control people's lives and people are, you know, people are being controlled here. And it's amazing, you know, like the folks that were across the road there for a while and different things. And it's like, how'd you get out then? If you're being controlled, how did you get out? How did you get away? Let my people go. Seems like you didn't have any trouble leaving. See, what people like that don't see is that some of us are intertwined. Amen? Some of us see Jesus as the head of his body. Some of us believe that Jesus is building a church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Amen. What do you think Satan's going to try to use then against the church? If the purpose of the church is to be unified, if the goal is mutual edification, if we truly believe that Jesus is placing people as it pleases him, amen, and gifting people as it pleases him. It's amazing how that becomes a factor so often. You know, people are so caught up in their gifting and what their role is. Your role is servant.
Amen.
Amen? At whatever level God wants you to serve, we serve. There are no lords. There is only one Lord. There's only one head of the church, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
And the rest of us are just doing our job. Amen?
Amen.
What he told us to do, what he called us to do. And this is the spirit that Paul is admonishing this Ephesians church with here. And he's saying, listen, I want you guys to come together. We are members one of another. Now that tells me there must be some underlying thing going on that Paul's addressing by the Holy Spirit. Because he goes down in a couple of verses and he says, now be angry, but sin not. And then, of course, this great application, and it's not specifically what's being spoken here, but we've shared the principle a lot of times. This is one of the greatest contributors to a healthy marriage. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Amen? Don't go to sleep angry. If you got to stay up all night, fix this thing. Humble yourself. I want you to know when you lay down and go to sleep all night, the devil's whispering in your ear, man, while you're sleeping. And you're shouting amen. That no good, that lousy bum, that amen, Lord, amen, hallelujah. You wake up madder than you went to bed. For all of the things that he did wrong in your imagination. We can imagine a lot of stuff, can't we? We need to deal like Joe Friday, man. Just the facts, ma'am. That's probably too old for the majority. But anyway. Dragnet, right? Badge 714. That came to mind because I was just a couple of weeks ago actually stood there and was looking at the I'd never seen that picture of the badge. I'd never been to that place in LA before. And when we were there a while back, I was on one of my walks and I found that spot and I was like, hey, there it is, the badge. What lies, what fiery darts Satan hurls into our spirit while we're sleeping angrily. How he multiplies the pain and multiplies the bitterness while we're asleep and can't defend ourselves. Well, isn't God defending us? Well, let me ask you, are you in right standing at this moment? We need to understand something. That hedge is for the righteous. That peculiar people, that holy nation, who's been separated and called forth to shout and sing and give praises unto God, is based upon relationship, proper communion. You are never more subject to the devil than when you're moving in bitterness and unforgiveness. You're in his territory, man. You are being taken captive by him at his will. The safest place you can ever be in your walk in the Spirit is being bathed in humility. Full of forgiveness and love and tenderness and mercy. Or should I say, full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You You see, we have this thinking that the Holy Ghost is this great power comes upon us when Samson's carrying the doors away or ripping lions apart or we're casting out devils. But I want you to know the greatest power of God is evidenced many times when it's not even observable. It's what's happening in your inward man and you're being conformed into the image of Jesus because you've chosen to love when you've been hurt. You've chosen to forgive. You've chosen to humble yourself when people are saying all manner of evil against you. There's no truth to it. But the truth is, you're worse than what they're saying about you.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
When you can live there, you're safe, praise God. That's a good place to be alive in the Holy Ghost. You know, whenever we speak to someone that verse, and I shared it with some guys yesterday, and of course they caught it right off and were laughing, but there's so much truth to this. And I said, when you go to somebody to help them, not judge them, not criticize them, not usurp, when you come to actually give them the Word of God to help them, and you share the Scripture with them, the Bible says, first take the... Now here's how we ought to say it to them. You need to first take the beam out of your eye so you can see clearly to help me take the beam out of my eye. A little better way to look at it, isn't it? Because we're always the man. You're always the guy with the beam. You're never the guy with the speck. You're always the guy with the beam. Amen? You won't believe that until you're full of the Holy Ghost. And so Paul's speaking to this great church of Ephesus, best church that's revealed to us, I believe, in the Scriptures. And he says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't give place in this community without things being reconciled. Do not, verse 27, give place to the devil. How do I give place to the devil? By not having immediate reconciliation. Immediate. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Hey, that's three times. This is getting old. You haven't come close to 490 yet, have you? 488. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I forgive you. 488. Are you forgiving if you're keeping track? Did you know that every time they ask you is the first time? If you're alive in the Spirit. We're not keeping track. Our heart's already set on forgiveness. Our heart's already set on love. Our heart's already set on edification of the body of Christ. My heart's already fixed because I understand that we are members one of another. I love them as my own body. It's the same as the union with husband and wife. No man ever yet hated his own body. And so we realize that this is so necessary, this environment. He even talks about the communion service and he says, listen, you're sitting here and you're recognizing and wanting to take communion, remember my death. But he said, I want you to remember my body. He said, I want you to remember that I died for everybody, the unlovely ones, the ones that you're upset with now. And if you allow that contention there, you're going to eat and drink to yourself damnation. Not what? What's it going to say? What's the verse? Not discerning the Lord's body. You know, some of us could get healed in here tonight by forgiving. By letting that bitterness finally really go. That judgmental spirit. That haughtiness. Some of us are not healed because we think we know more about healing than everybody else. Pride. Oh, beloved. We are so dependent upon Him. Amen?
Amen.
Without Him, we can do nothing. We are absolutely debtors. We are absolutely, fully, totally, absolutely at all times dependent upon Him. I'm wanting to move mightily in you. He says, okay, then don't give place to the devil. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. What a powerful phrase, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Why would he just kind of throw that thing about our salvation in there? Now, if we were good Calvinists, this wouldn't bother us. But since we're not good Calvinists, and this is talking about the seal, the guarantee of my redemption, I'm interested. I want to know that I'm going to stand before Him guiltless in that last day. Don't you?
Amen.
That if that trumpet were to sound tonight and I was called into His presence, I want to know that seal of the Holy Ghost is on that document. The one that has nothing on it, that's been blotted out. That guarantees it was done by the effectual blood of Jesus. And that I stand right with God, not in my own merit, not by anything I've done, but totally by faith in the finished work of Jesus. By whose stripes I'm healed spiritually and physically. So what is it then that can jeopardize that document? What is it that could grieve the Holy Spirit? We saw last Sunday morning the cry of David, take not your Holy Spirit from me. What a miserable place to be, amen? I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit even being taken from us. I'm just talking about the times that we find ourselves not in the best place and right standing that we should be with God. Oh, He still loves us. The problem is we're loving some of a, you know. As we say, you know, you all look at me and say, he loves him some star. Right? You're right. And when I'm loving too much star, I'm not loving enough Jesus. And I feel miserable, man. And there's nothing that can satisfy me. There's nothing that can cause that peace and that joy and that happiness and that purpose in your life than seeing that old man dead and crucified. Than being in right standing and in communion and fellowship with my wife and my children and my friends. And the body of Christ. Oh, how it grieves the Holy Spirit when we tear down what we should be building up. As we look over at the gifts of the Spirit, we try to get there tonight some, but as we look over there, we realize that all of these supernatural working of the gifts of the Spirit, chapter 14 tells us in Corinthians, is primarily for the edification. Seek edifying. Amen? What is it then that grieves the Holy Spirit? What is it that keeps us from hearing clearly to be able to speak a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom? What is it that keeps us from hearing that still small voice that allows us to move in discerning of spirits? The working of miracles, the gifts of healings. What is it that grieves the Holy Spirit? That we can't be used like He wants to use us. Grief. Heartache to God. Heartache to the Holy Spirit. Our haughtiness, our selfishness, our pride, these words that we speak that harm and divide breaks the heart of God. We talked not long ago, we did that teaching on the tongue, and you know, there were tongues of fire on Pentecost, and we read about the tongues of fire in James. This member that can set on fire the course of life, that creates all kinds of murders and strifes and envies. This tongue, the power of words. And how we can sit down in our homes and make cutting remarks about other people that are part of the body of Christ. Or pass judgments on their lifestyles. And we've talked a lot about just recently, you know, trying to force our consciences upon people. And then judge them when they don't respond. You know, I'm not talking about an isolated case. I'm talking about just in the last week, numerous marriages. Those of you in some of these circumstances, I know some of us think, oh, you know, pastor's talking about, you know, marriage and he's talking about me. Yeah, I am talking about you, but I'm talking about a bunch of other people too. See, that's another problem. You still always think it's all about you. There's other people in here hurting. There's other people in here that are rebellious and prideful and selfish and unloving. So don't think you hold the corner on the market of sinning in here. There's a number of us. He wants to bring healing to the church. He wants to mend and heal broken hearts. He wants to deliver us from this love of self. The very thing that in the midst of the Corinthians passages on the gifts of the Spirit as he brings that 13th chapter in. And he explains what love is to us. And love does not vaunt itself. It doesn't demand its own way. Amen? Do you see what that does to the church of Jesus Christ? Do you see what it does to the Holy Spirit of God? That it grieves Him? It repulses Him? You think the Holy Ghost wouldn't come in here and help us if we were truly ready to lay our lives down for one another? You think He wouldn't help us pull that off? How badly do we want to be a community of edification? How badly do we want to be a place where Jesus' reputation the love of the whole world, His gentleness, His meekness. Come and learn of Me, He said. You see, the contributor to much of this is what I was saying earlier. It's that independent spirit. This is demonic. This is satanic. This is the last days. That spirit is what's going to cause this broad way to be filled with people professing the name of Jesus and demanding their own way and living for themselves. And so He said, I want to set you free. I want to move in your midst. But guard your hearts, guard your lips, guard that tongue. Now, you know, the most tragic part of all of this is not only that too many of us do this at times, but the real tragedy is not enough of us stop it. And I want to tell you something. We don't love one another if we don't put a halt to this. Stop it. I don't want to hear that. That is not edifying. That's not ministering grace. Amen? You don't have to get into their character. And you know, and then we start doing it. You know, you're always like that. Come on. You just address the momentary situation of someone who is bringing division to the body of Christ, who's grieving the Holy Ghost, amen? And you and I need to make up our minds that, you know what, the Holy Ghost isn't going to be grieved as long as I'm present. Now, this is not right. Invite people to do that in your life, amen? Hey, all of us do it way too frequently. And that's surely something that we don't need to look at the person next to us. We know that applies to us. Amen? Amen. I didn't say that what they did was sin. Is what you said, was it edifying? Well, I was just speaking my opinion. We don't need your opinion. Nobody needs your opinion. Keep it to yourself. Work it out between you and God. Is that Bible? Huh? Your conscience? You have it between you and? Don't stop trying to put it off on other people. Stop trying to convince other people, yeah, I'm right. Well, you know what I think about? Well, we don't care what you think about that. Is what you're going to say edifying? Is it? Is it ministering grace? We sure want grace. How much grace do you minister? See, ministering grace doesn't have to do with just responding properly when somebody comes to you in some type of a conflict. Ministering grace is not speaking of it in the first place. Not being a contributor. Seems to me somewhere in the scriptures, Jesus talks about the merit of being a peacemaker. Amen? Don't want to hear it. That goes for firing on family members. Yeah, we're family. You can't sin against your family. They're close friends. I don't tell everybody. I just send to my 10 closest friends. And they sin by not rebuking me. He's coming for a holy church without spot or wrinkle or any corrupt communication or any such thing. The spirit of lawlessness. That we're facing, the Bible says, is strong enough to take down the majority so that few there be that find it. There shall be a great falling away. Let me add to that. Let me put a parenthetical statement in there. There shall be a great falling away to independence. There shall be a great falling away from the edifying of the church, but instead the preference of self. Or my little group. We're the Peter group, you know. Yeah, but we're of Paul. Hey, there's a small group of us Apollos guys over here. Paulus made Paul look like a rookie, man. His eloquence. The power that he moved in. Look at Paul. You see, what it takes today to be successful is you got to have a little bit of that Hollywood, you know, and Paul's just a little short, ugly guy that stammers a little bit, who has an eye problem. Well, the person making that judgment's got the eye problem. What am I saying? We're letting too much commonality come in. We're taking liberties that are not liberties. They're sin. We're to seek to edify. If we want the Holy Ghost here, He's coming for one reason, to build up the church. To build up people's hearts. To encourage people, not tear them down, not judge them. Oh, He is the convincer of sin. The scripture is very clear. He comes to convince us of sin. I'm not talking about dealing with sin. I'm talking about loving yourself, vaunting yourself, selling yourself, your ideologies. And not letting Jesus be the head of His church and care for each member as He would. Let's finish this up for tonight. Got the wrong glasses tonight, so I had to even as big as those numbers, I had to even look over this thing to see those. I trust that the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart tonight and what the real issue is. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let this bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you. And be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know, we look back at 1 Corinthians and we see again this passage that's injected right into the midst of chapters 12 and 14. And we'll end with this for this evening. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, listen, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, say it with me, I am nothing. Love endures all things, hopes all things, bears all things. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It's not easily provoked. It does not think evil. Amen? How thin-skinned so many of us are. We're not to cause or be the agents of provocation, but beloved, from the other side of the coin, many of us are so self-involved that we become offended so easily. They didn't say hi when they passed me in the hallway. You know, they might have just got a report that they were waiting on the markers for cancer. They may have left their husband home battling 102 degree fever and racked in pain. It's not all about us, is it? Well, I think they were thinking. How do you know what somebody's thinking? You don't know what anybody's thinking. Watch, I'll prove. Did you get that? How many of you'd like to know what I was just thinking? I'll tell you. I was thinking we're going to quit now. Father, send your Holy Spirit among us and finish this work in us as you purify your bride and prepare us for that trumpet's blast that could be tonight. Oh, dear Lord, how many of us are allowing such temporal things to cause eternal consequences? What does it profit a man to prove his point and lose his own soul. I'll show that person. I'll never forgive them. I'll show them. I'll go to hell. I'll show them. Help us, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our eyes to the need for love that we have among ourselves. That is not limited by choice, by observation, by mind, by preference, but about out of obedience to your Lordship. Let us love with the same love that you would be exalted. And we ask that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, love never fails. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.